Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Pastor Olivia Deloach, and you tune in to God's Purpose Ministry. Welcome, beloved. Here we are on the 24th of April, a day never seen before, and of 2019 that we won't see again. Amen. But moving on to the month of May, April showers bring May flowers. Wherever you are today, this evening, my beloved ones, I pray that this is the day that the Lord has made, and you will and you are rejoicing in it. Tonight, we're going to continue on the coming out of the book, The Absalom Spirit. It is one of my favorites. I really like it. And I pray that you're enjoying our topic, too. Before we go in, let's do our declaration. Our declaration is, I declare that I have a sound mind filled with good thoughts, not thoughts of defeat. By faith, I am well able. I am anointed. I am equipped. I am empowered. My thoughts are guided by God's word every day. No obstacle can defeat me because my mind is programmed for victory. This is my declaration. Amen. And we just want to go in, beloved, and continue on from last week. Last week we talked about the danger signs of disloyalty, and this is what the Absalom is all about, being disloyal. And disloyalty is a state of mind, as we talked about, because when we have the ability, why is it a state of mind? Because we have the ability to decide what goes on in our minds, right? We can reject the spirit of disloyalty. It simply requires that we continually, listen to this, purify our thoughts, okay? We want to change our stinking thinking. We want to change our motives and purify them in our attitude towards the word of God, amen? The spirit, if left unchecked, however, the spirit of disloyalty will start to take roots in our heart. And remember, we talk about that, how it takes the danger sign of disloyalty is promoting self. That's one of the danger signs. Then we talk about being prideful. That's one of the danger signs. Being easily threatened. That's one of the danger signs. Having an independent spirit. Ah, somebody said, what do you mean? It's a danger sign of loyalty. It's an independent spirit. God called us to work together and be a team, not to be independent and self-reliant and self-sufficient and unconstrained and detached. That's the spirit of Absalom. What's another one was? Not being able to trust. Yes, yes, yes. You had to be in last week. If you didn't, you can go back to the archives and pull these up and read them and hear, listen in on them. But we went into those. But tonight, beloved, we want to talk about the way of Absalom. Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you right now. We ask you for understanding. We ask you for the revelation of your word. We ask for the mind and heart to receive. We ask that you clear our thoughts and saturate our hearts prepared for the word of the Lord, and that we will grab all that we can and, Father God, just walk in you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Please forgive me. It's allergy season, so if I'm sounding a little gruff here, it's that time of year, and I'm just believing and thanking God for clearing. All right? The way of Absalom is what we're talking about, and we're going to continue to talk about disloyalty. Disloyalty begins when the enemy sows his seed and it takes root in a person's heart. Disloyalty is a heart issue, okay? Nowhere is this more clearly seen than in the life of Absalom. And when you want to read about Absalom, let's go to 2 Samuel 13th chapter. I love it. I want you to read it. I want you to go back and read it and reread it. And if you don't read it, go back and read it again. But what we're going to talk about is coming out of the second chapter of Samuel. I mean, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Forgive me. Okay. In here, you'll find out that Absalom had a sister named Tamar. And they belong with their, they along with their many other half-sisters and half-brothers from their father David, you know, King David, marriages. And they lived together in the royal palace of King David's city, modern-day Jerusalem. And one of these half-brothers, Amnon, had an incestuous lust for Tamar and plotted with one of his cousins, an equally deviated person, to lure Tamar into his room. Now, you got to go back and read this and see how sick and warped Amnon was, and how he's going to, how he treated his sister and how he ended up treating his sister. And you'll go and read the story and you'll see why Absalom become like he does. The plan worked, though, and Amnon sexually assaulted and humiliated his half-sister. Under Jewish law, Tamar was not unable, was now unable to marry, and therefore he shamed her for life. In response to this tragedy, Absalom offered to take care of her. That was, you know, that was his sister. That was not his half-sister, but that was his sister. Now, Amnon was their half-brother. The Bible doesn't record whether David disciplined his son, Amnon, for his serious offense. We do not know that he was deeply, but we do know that he was deeply angered, meaning King David. You can read that over in the 2 Samuel 13th chapter 21st verse. But the king's apparent inability to administrate justice caused a rift in his family that had far-reaching consequences. Verse 22 gives us a glimpse of one of those heartbreaking consequences. Listen, and Amnon spoke to his brother Amnon. Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon. Absalom hated his half-brother because Amnon had forced Tamar and began to plot revenge on him. Absalom's pure intentions were turned to a long-term anger and hateful hunger for revenge. That's in verse 32. It says, this purpose has shown itself on Absalom's determined mouth ever since the day Amnon humiliated his sister Tamar. Since King David really didn't do anything for whatever reason, Absalom turned on his brother Amnon, and he hated him. Now, he took in Tamar into his home. He told her she can come stay with her. She pulled off her royal clothes and began to wear, like, sackcloth and ashes. And she was broken. He ruined her. He destroyed her. She could never marry. And Absalom hated Amnon for it, for assaulting his sister, sexually violating his sister. And he stopped speaking to Amnon. But not only did he stop speaking, he started plotting. He was going after his revenge. He was going after to take him down through it all. His heart got hardened. Everything about him, and continue to listen, whether the king knew of the animosity that boiled in his son's heart. We do not know that, but this condition went on for 2 years before Absalom hatched his plan. He plotted for 2 years, beloved. People will sit and plot on you, or you are sitting and plotting on people. Can go. Sometimes we think things happen overnight. No, there is some purpose and some plan behind some things we do or people do. Disloyalty comes more and more destructive with time. It grows and it festers with each day that goes by. In Absalom's case, it began in his heart with the offense of his Tamar's rape. He was good up until that day. Him and his brother was okay. And it festered, meaning what? It seeped in there. It stayed in there. He dwelled on it. He talked to think about it. He reminisced over it. He tossed it around in his heart until it responded, till he became a cold-blooded murderer, beloved. Okay, let me read the scripture on that. 2 Samuel 13, verses 28 and 29, it reads this. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, I mean when he's drunk, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Don't be afraid to kill him. Do what I'm telling you. Have not I commanded you? Do what I say. Don't be afraid is what he was telling them. Be courageous and be vigilant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon on Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got up upon his mule and fled. They did exactly what their brother told them. They did exactly what the king's son told them. Amen. Every man, okay, as King David mourned, listen, the loss of his son Amnon, his other son, Absalom ran away and hid. That's down in verse 37. Absalom became a man filled with hate, anger, bitterness, and fear. In the beginning, he had simply wanted justice. All he wanted was justice. When it didn't happen, listen, he took things into his own hand, and that is where his problem began. When you take things in your own hand, some things we just got to give, not some things, we just got to give things to God. We got to let God handle it and trust he knows what he's doing. Amen. Through the course of Absalom's actions, he went from being a protective brother to being a fugitive member of the royal family, unable to live in his own nation, all because he allowed disloyalty to grow in his heart toward his father and took matters into his own hand. Now, let me put a bookmark right there. Maybe some of you may have thought of this, but this is just me as a human. It's now Absalom can't go back home. He can't go amongst his family because of what he done. But my question was, why didn't nobody do anything to Amnon? And that's probably what Absalom is so angry about. Not probably, it was. Nothing happened to Amnon when he violated his sister, when he raped his sister, when he sexually assaulted his sister. Why didn't King David do something? But now he's had him murdered, not by his own hand, but by his command, and he's a fugitive. He can't even come around. They're after him, okay? Meanwhile, though, if King David had ended in the parenthood before, he was now about to fail miserably. Although he pinned for Absalom, he made no attempt to forgive him and ask him to return home. See this? He was the king. He could have did something about it, but he didn't. He didn't. He didn't forgive his son. He didn't say, baby boy, come home, let's work this out. Now, Absalom's heart was loaded. Now, he really mad now. He really upset. He's been rejected by his father. In addition to hate, anger, bitterness, and fear, that's already in his heart, he now had feelings of rejection, humiliation, shame, and complete disrespect, tearing apart his heart. Can't you imagine all that going on? In fact, it was only through a screw deception scheme by Israel Commander-in-Chief Joab that David eventually made the decision to allow his son to return home. There's always somebody standing in the gap. The Israel Commander-in-Chief begged the king to allow his son to come home. That is found in 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 22. Praise God. Then in what can only be seen as an act of delay, punishment, David announced a condition to Absalom's return. King, his daddy, the king, he just couldn't forgive his son. He just couldn't let him come on back. He let the other one go for his heinous crime. But he couldn't do it for Absalom. He just couldn't. And he put a condition on it. They would never speak to each other again. 2 Samuel 14 and 24 records this and said, and the king said, let him turn to his own home and let him not see my face. He told me he can come back, but he can't see me. Now, what's up with that? What parent does that? Huh? And then we want to know why this man is so filled with rage. Not that it's right. But we can't kind of understand it, right? Well, at least I can. Now, Absalom was an outcast in his own land. His dad made him an outcast in his own land. Can you imagine how he must have felt? He tolerated this treatment for the next 2 years. And then he asked Joab, who had orchestrated his return to organize an audience with his father. He asked Joab twice without a favorable response. And then, to total frustration, Absalom set fire to the general's farmland to force a response. He's like, answer me. I'm burning down everything. Okay? Let me read that for you. 2 Samuel 14, verses 30 to 33 in the NIV version. It reads as such. Then he said unto his servants, look, Joab, fields is next to mine. And he asked, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire. So Absalom's servants set the field of Joab's on fire. Then Joab did go to Absalom's house, and he said to him, why have your servants set my field on fire? Absalom said to Joab, look, I sent word to you and said, come here so I can send you to the king to ask, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me if I were still there. Now then, I want to see the king's face, and if I am guilty of anything, let him put me to death. So Joab went to the king and told him this. Then the king summoned Absalom, and he came in and bowed down with his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. The end result was that King David agreed, perhaps reluctantly, to meet the son he hadn't seen for more than 4 years. Although this might seem like a breakthrough for restoration, Absalom took this as a sign of approval to start acting out a new role as a pretender. The reunion with his father had not crushed Absalom's traitorous thoughts. He was now even more venom than before and had a new passion to steal the throne. See, his father gave in reluctantly, and Absalom's motive was still wrong. When his father broke down and gave in, Absalom's heart was still hardened. He was still angry. He still hadn't forgiven. He was worse than before. In the beginning, ever so innocently, in the 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter now, verses 1 through 6. Write this down so you can go back and read. It was allowed to continue for 4 years while he secretly built up a private army and won the hearts of the common people. Then with military precision, he struck. You see this? When his dad did what he did, he went in and built him up a common, got some common people, trained them, bring them an army. When they was ready, he struck. It was almost 10 years from the time his sister was defiled to the time he stormed into Jerusalem at the head of his army and pronounced himself king. He's going to override his daddy. You see this? See how the mind works? The heart, when it's wicked and deceitful, it had got in his mind. You couldn't tell him what he was doing was wrong. He couldn't see no wrong in it. Sometimes we allow our mind to talk to us and change things, even though you may have been in the right, but when you harbor that stuff, you dwell on that stuff, you twist that stuff up and chew on it and rehearse it and nurse it, after a while it becomes a cancerous like sore and it eats you alive, and all you want to do is get back at people. Remember when you talked about it? Remember when you dropped me? Remember when you didn't give me my first baby doll? Remember when you didn't show up at my birthday? Remember when mama bought you an ice cream cone with 2 scoops and I got a half scoop? And all that foolery. Amen. It was 10 years now. How long we holding stuff? How long we nursing stuff? How long we rehearsing stuff? How long it is that we say we're going to get even, we're going to fix it? How long? The spirit of disloyalty grew inside Absalom till it consumed him. It became his, he slept and ate disloyalty. He slept and ate and breathed. How I'm going to get you back? He became such a proud and evil person that in 2 Samuel 17, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it is recorded that he even agreed to the murder of his own father, King David. In his mind, usurping the throne, seizing untold wealth, and becoming the most powerful man on earth wasn't enough for him. His father had to die. He just wasn't going to take over. He wanted to kill him. This is extreme to which Absalom disloyalty grew. And this is extreme to which disloyalty can grow in any person who does not deal with it quickly. Remember I gave you at the beginning the danger signs of disloyalty we talked about last week. You have to watch those signs. You got to pull them down quickly. Each situation, big or small, involves right and wrong attitude. That was Absalom's problem. Years of anger, and hunger for revenge motivated him to rebel against his father. Many in the church have experienced this same frustration and anger when the ranks of the church leadership. Yeah, it does. It goes on today, 2019. Yes, it does. Working with people from all walks of life in numerous trying circumstances has caused some leaders or people to forget how Jesus will respond. Consequently, like Absalom, they take matters into their own hands, and tragedy is the result, beloved, always. When I think of Absalom, I think of a man who had no one to speak into his life. He had no one in whom he felt confident to the extent that he will allow that person to correct and adjust his heart and his attitude towards his father. He didn't seek wise counsel. He didn't listen to anyone but that cold, wicked, hateful, convicted heart, okay? Isolation, listen, Isolation is a terrible thing. And when David put Absalom into isolation, the seed of disloyalty grew day by day. We cannot isolate ourselves, and we cannot isolate those of our loved ones around and keeping them from people. That's how that seed grew. Even in the middle of Absalom's great desire to come back to his father's love, care, and attention, Absalom could not see things clearly. And in this state of easy, it's for anyone to fall headlong into fear. Okay? Fear manifests when one cannot see the way out of predicament. Then the spirit of fear causes the person to become irrational, illogical, unreasonable, and difficult. Okay? I believe that Absalom got so frustrated with not seeing any justice that the spirit of fear compelled him to take things into his own hand. When anyone does this, beloved, it usually results in an even bigger mess. Absalom's case, it will eventually cost him his precious life. How much more did it cost him his life? Absalom did not start out as an irrational, illogical, unreasonable, and difficult man. No, he didn't. He had been a wonderful young man who had the eye of his father, David. He was extremely handsome, intelligent, and gifted, beloved. He was obviously admired and accepted by the people of David's court and kingdom. And let's start right there. He was going to be king one day, probably. And it's natural. He's going to be king if he had kept his eyes on God, let God fight his battle, kept his heart pure. He had the king's heart. He was his dad's favorite. But no, no, no. Like I said, the enemy comes, steal, kill, and destroy. And he did all of that with Absalom. He did. He stole his dreams. He stole his hope. He stole his livelihood. And eventually killed and took his life. However, when he saw injustice, talking about Absalom, that wasn't addressed as he thought it should be, he took things into his own hands and ultimately lost everything. Many times people focus on issues that are not worth their energy and ultimately lose the things that really matter. We must be sure to continually keep our hearts and minds, beloved, set on those things that really matter and not of those matter that could cost us our peace, our health, our family, and ultimately our destination. We have to watch what it is that overtake us. Now, not everyone have experienced the betrayal of a very close friend either. And some have lost employees and associates. But imagine the devastation of witnessing of these things that are going on in your life. So we just want to end it right here. We want to be careful that we don't get into these things. Praise God. We will make sure that we, like I said, we want to keep our minds on Jesus. We pray tonight that you resist. Please go back and read those words. We ask you that if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you will stop right now and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come in to be the head of your life, to change, to wash you clean, to purify your heart according to Romans 10 and 9. I behoove you to get into a good church, a good Bible study, set yourself under a wonderful man or woman of God, and renew your mind day by day. Pray and obey. Beloved, meet me back here next Wednesday night as we continue on the disloyal spirit of Absalom. I love you. There is nothing you can do about it. I am your servant host. Pastor Olivia Deloach. God bless you and good night.